circumstance keep him from what his expectation was. Though he was short and though the crowds were thronging around him and the crowds despised him and the crowds could care less about him, he found a tree to climb in so he could see Jesus. When Jesus got to where he was, it was no mystery. Aren't you glad Jesus knows us right where we're at? Amen. Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come on down. Today I'm coming to your house. I got to abide with you today." He got down to Zacchaeus' house, and Zacchaeus got touched, and he acknowledged him for who he was. He said, "Lord, I give half of everything I have to the poor. And if I have wronged any man." See, a lot of times we read about Zacchaeus and they always make it because he was a tax collector, that he was an evil man. Nobody likes tax collectors. Never have. They never will. Amen. But I think the Bible here in Luke 19, verse number 8, kind of shows that he was an ethical man, even though he was employed by the Romans to collect taxes. Because he said, "If I have wronged any man," I don't believe he was sure that he had. He said, "I'll restore him fourfold." He was a benevolent man. He said, "I'll give half of what I have to the poor." And Jesus said, "Salvation has come to this house, for he is a son of David." Because he recognized and he acknowledged him as Lord. You see, some people think, well, because he gave and because he did these things, he got saved. No, he got saved because he recognized Jesus for who he was. Amen. He recognized him as the Lord. And the Bible tells us, as you go ahead and you read the scriptures, that Jesus went on. But Zacchaeus stayed right where he was. He was secure in who he was. He was now a child of God. He was secure in what he was doing, because that's what he was doing before. That was his job. He was secure in living a life that would glorify God. He was secure in every aspect of his life because he knew that he had placed his faith and trust in the one who was to come. Then in Mark chapter 5, and the same narrative we read about in Luke chapter 8, we find there was a woman that had an issue of blood. And she had an expectation that if she could just touch Jesus, amen, if she could just touch Jesus, everything was going to be all right. A lot of times we come into the house of God and we hope to see Jesus, but we don't have an expectation to meet him here. Amen? And we leave missing a blessing. Sometimes we come to the house of God and we don't have an expectation that we're going to touch Jesus. And because we touch Jesus, Jesus is going to touch us. Amen? And we leave the same way that we come in. Now, she got into the crowd and she had nothing to give, but she had nothing to lose. The Bible says she had an issue of blood for 12 years and she wasn't growing any better but only grew the worse. She'd spent all that she had on physicians. She'd spent all that she had in everything trying to find healing. Now, did it ever occur to you that if all these faith healers on TV could do everything that they said that they could do, there wouldn't be no sickness? Right. Amen. Amen. I mean, we're going to talk about these blind men here. Here's what I've never seen them able to pull off. You know, they get the fellows that will come up on the crutches. Well, I was crippled, and I got there, and the faith healer prayed over me. The faith healer healed me, and I got healed, and they throw their crutches away, and they go dancing out of the church house. There might be people there that get caught up in the moment, and for a moment, even though they are sick and even though they're hurting, they can get up and take a few steps because they just will it in themselves to do it because they believe it's going to be so, and in just a few moments to right back where they were. I remember hearing Johnny Erickson Tada talk one time. Have you ever heard her tell about that story? That's heartbreaking. In Washington, D.C., area. She was raised down here on the Eastern Shore. For those that don't know Johnny Erickson Tada, she's a radio host of a program, and Johnny and friends, and she's been paralyzed. She's a quadriplegic. She's totally paralyzed from her neck down. She depends on somebody to do her just menial things, to dress her, to bathe her, to take care of her, to feed her, to do everything. She can do nothing for herself, but she has a voice that she uses for the Lord. But when she was a teenager, she jumped into the Chesapeake Bay, and she jumped into shallow water, and she wound up breaking her neck, and it left her a quadriplegic. And she tells, I heard her tell one time how she heard about this famous faith healer that was coming to the Washington metro area. And she went to hear him. And she went and they wheeled her in there in her wheelchair. And she wanted to get up close. But as they come in, they wheeled you into the areas where they wanted you. And she finally realized that she was in the area with all the really crippled people. And the service got started and you know, she seen this one going up and getting up to the front, and they were on their crutches, and the man touched them and prayed over them, and they threw their crutches away, and they walked out, and they were jumping and going on. This happened time and time and time again. And she said, I'm in the back, and she said, I'm crying, over here, Holy Spirit, over here, over here. And the people around her were crying for the same thing, and she come to realize that she'd been sold a bill of goods. She'd been sold a hoax. This was all a staged event. There was no real healing going on there. How sad it is. They can pull off the fake cripples. They can pull off the fake diseases. But I'd like to see them sometime take somebody that's got glass eyes. And turn those glass eyes into real eyes. Amen. They can't do it. See, that's what this woman with the issue of blood found out, that man couldn't do what was needing done, but she knew that if she could touch Jesus, praise God, she would get a touch from Jesus that would meet her need. And she didn't let the fact that she had nothing left but herself, nothing left but her miserable existence. She was polluted. She was unclean. Everybody she touched would be unclean. Nobody wanted to be around her. But praise God, she just knew that if she could touch Jesus, everything was going to be all right. And when she touched him, everything was made all right. Amen. That's why we come to the house of God. Sometimes we need to get away from the world that we get a touch of Jesus. Amen. Sometimes we got to push beyond the crowds and the throngs. I hate going to public events because they're filled up with people. Amen. Rude, crude, and absurd people. We used to take our kids down to Havre de Grace to go see the fireworks on the 4th of July. And the last time we went down there was, ours were little, maybe 30, 35 years ago. We quit going. And it's a beautiful place to watch the fireworks. There's a nice bank there. You can take your blanket and lay it out on the bank, and they do the fireworks. Some idiot got in the crowd and started shooting bottle rockets down through the crowd. Hit some little girl in the back of the head and caught her hair on fire. And her parents are screaming, trying to get the girl's, her hair's on fire, her clothes are catching on fire. They're trying to beat the fire out. And then the next thing, while you're in the midst of all this, a bunch of rednecks get in a fight, and there's a big fight going on, and you know, parents are trying to shield their kids, and a big brawl. Got it. Rude, crude, and absurd. That's the only way I can describe it. And it seems like everywhere you go, where it's not a Christian event, you go up Sight and Sound, go up and watch a show there, that place holds hundreds of people. And when it comes time to dismiss, it's all orderly. People are courteous. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be around God's people if I'm going to be around people. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I want to get away, I want to get away from the world. I want to come somewhere and push beyond the throngs to where I can reach out and touch Jesus. And I know I'm going to get a touch from Jesus. Amen. And she got what she went looking for. Her faith made the difference. Her faith sealed her fate. Her faith made the change. Because she had an expectation. If she could just touch Jesus. I don't know about you. Did you come expecting something tonight? Did you come expecting to touch Him? How do I do that, preacher? Through your praises. He inhabits the praises of His people, you know. Psalm 22. It's our reasonable sacrifice. Hebrews 13. It's something that we need to do. When we praise Him, He gets all excited. Amen. Amen. And then He touches us. Our praises reach Him. Our praises touch Him. And praise God, we come to worship and we praise Him. And it's not long before He's touching us. We didn't give Him anything but a little bit of praise from our lips, from our heart. And He comes and He gives us everything. He leaves us blessed. But now in Matthew chapter 20, verse 29, the Bible says, "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed Him." Now Jesus is on His way to Calvary. He's on His way to an old rugged cross. He's on His way to give up His life. But do you notice whenever He comes through Jericho, it seems like there's always somebody needing some healing. Do you notice that? Every time He gets around Jericho, there's something going on. There's someone with a need. There's someone with an expectation. There's someone that's trying to get in touch. And this time is His last time as He's passing through Jericho to go to Calvary to fulfill what He came here to do. He's on His way. And a great multitude followed Him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. When they heard that Jesus passed by, you know why they were crying? You know why they were sitting there waiting? You know why they got excited when they heard about Jesus? I believe they done heard about blind Bartimaeus. Amen. As Jesus was coming into Jericho, as Jesus was making His way, as He draw nigh to Jericho, the Bible says blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the wayside and he cried out to Jesus. They told Bartimaeus to sit still and to shut up. But he cried even louder. He cried even harder. He cried out to Jesus. And Jesus heard his cry. And Jesus gave him back his sight. Now there's two more blind men sitting there. Maybe they done heard about what Jesus could do and what He did at Jericho. Jericho was famous in its day for having a plant that they could make a balm out of that they could apply to the eyes. And it was supposed to heal eye problems. And maybe they come and they try this. I don't know, but I think maybe they heard about Jesus being in Jericho. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked Him because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they say unto Him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed Him. It's warm in here tonight, isn't it? Amen. It's warm in here. I got to come out of this jacket tonight. I feel a preaching fit coming on. Amen. I feel something about to happen. I feel an expectation that we're going to get a touch from another world tonight if we want to feel it, if we want to know it. Amen. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I've been blessed for being here already. Amen. I've been blessed just to be around God's people. But I want Jesus to meet a need in some life tonight. And if that happens to be my life, praise God. Glory to His name. Amen. I want to cry out to Him tonight. I want to worship Him tonight. I want to lift up my voice and let Him know that I'm poor and needy. And I know that He cares about me. Amen. He's not worried about my situation. He's not worried about my condition. You know why? Because He can meet every need that I have. He's not worried about what's going on with you. All you need to do is just reach out and touch Him. I reach out and cry to Him. I reach out and I do whatever it takes to get close to Him and to look for Him and to be where He's at. And praise God, He's going to meet your need. These fellows were blind. They couldn't see what was going on. They lived in darkness. They lived a life that was just filled with nothing but black. But praise God, they had more vision than many people with two eyes that could see. Amen. Because they knew the light. Oh, the world was coming by. Amen. John said He was the light of the world. He said, and He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. They were blind. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light in John chapter 8. He said, I'm the light. You want something enlightened in your life, you got to go to the light. Amen. You know what? The older I get, the more I need light. Amen. I've always been one, if I'm looking up numbers and trying to find stuff on equipment, some people just guess at the numbers and that they ordered stuff and half the time it's wrong because they didn't take the time to get some light on it. Amen. I want to get some light on it. I want to be absolutely sure of the numbers when I'm ordering something. And let me tell you what, if I'm going to worship someone, I want to be absolutely sure. Amen. And you know how I can be absolutely sure that I'm worshiping the one that's worthy of my worship? His light. Amen. His light is revealed. They had more sight than many people that had their two eyes because they had a spiritual perception. They had a spiritual expectation as Jesus was passing by that He was going to do something in their lives. Amen. Look, and the Bible says they heard that Jesus passed by. They cried out saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. The psalmist said over there in Psalm 61, hear my cry, O Lord, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. I'm way too high. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. You know what? Men have been crying out to God all through the ages. And when they cried out to God, they have found out that He meets their need. He supplies their need. He satisfies their longings and their hungers. But they cried out to God. The psalmist, the man after God's own heart, knew that in his time of trouble, he could cry out to God. These two blind men knew that in the midst of their blindness and their darkness and their infirmity, all they had to do was cry out to God, cry out to Jesus, and He would hear their cry. Amen. You know what? He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. He still meets their need. Verse 30 said they were asking for mercy. Asking for mercy. Amen. You know what they found? Mercy. You know what they deserved? Nothing. You know how they found mercy? Because grace brought it to them. Amen. Amen. That's why mercy and grace are my Bible heroes. Amen. I didn't deserve it, but I got it anyway. And what I did deserve, I didn't get. Amen. They cried for mercy. They cried out for mercy and they found His compassion. In verse 34, it said that Jesus had compassion on them. Amen. Why do you think he came and he died for a lost and a dying world? You know what compassion means? It means he cares. Amen. It means not just that he loved you. I know a lot of people love things and love people, but they really don't care about them. Amen. How many of you love all your extended family? I thought I'd get hands up all over the house, because my next question was going to be, how familiar are you with everything that's going on in their life right now? They're your family. You love them because they're your family. But you really don't care. Because if you did, you'd be aware of what's going on. See, compassion is caring. Compassion is pouring out yourself for someone else. They were looking for mercy. They found compassion. Why? Because they asked. But they didn't just ask amiss. What James say? We have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your own lust. Amen? These men were asking in faith. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because it says so right here. Verse number 30, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. You know who they were acknowledging? Jesus came. They were acknowledging the Messiah. That is the title of the Messiah. That's the name by whom he will be known by, as the Son of David. Amen. They weren't just crying out to anybody. They weren't just crying out for any help. They were crying out for the one who could bring the help that they needed in their circumstances. And they had faith in who it was that was passing by. Oh Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Amen. Now, the woman with the issue of blood, her faith made her whole. These blind men, I believe, were healed because their faith was put into action. Their faith was verbalized. Their faith was expressed. But we can read through the Bible, we can read of all kinds of people who got healed but never exhibited faith. We read of all kinds of people who Jesus touched. The dead man in Nain, he was exercising no faith. The only thing he was exercising, the only thing he was displaying and showing anybody was death. And that death was real and that death had claimed him. Amen? But he got raised from the dead. Lazarus was 4 days in the tomb, already dead. His sister said, man, we don't want to roll that stone away. I'm sure he's already stinking by now. Lazarus exercised no faith to get raised from the dead. But they just didn't get a healing. They got a changing. The woman that had the issue of the blood, she just didn't get healed. She got made whole. Why? Because she had an expectation that was wrapped up in faith that if she touched Jesus, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked him. See, that's been the whole problem with all three of these people. It is the crowds, it's the multitudes. Amen? The crowd, they despised Zacchaeus. that they couldn't stand it, that he was rich and he had this title and he had this position and he worked for the Roman government and he was everything that they didn't like and everything they didn't want, and they despised him and they could care less if he could see Jesus. The woman had the issue of blood. Her life was polluted. And under Jewish law, everybody that she touched was polluted, was unable to worship, was made unclean. They could care less about her. They wanted, she probably had circle marks all over her body where people touched her with 10-foot poles. You ever heard that saying, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole? Amen. Can you just imagine going through life and nobody wanting to touch you? Man, we got to have that human nature. From a little child, relies upon and depends upon that touch. We have to have that touch. We've been married going on 45 years. And when we go to bed at night, we got a touch. If it ain't nothing but just touch, we got a touch. There's got to be a touch. We long for that. Our children and our grandchildren, as they come along, we don't hold them at arm's length. We want a touch. Amen. We want a hug. We want a kiss. We want a love on them. We long for the touch. Can you imagine this dear saint of God who was suffering and as she was going through her life and nobody wanted to touch her. But by faith, she touched Jesus. Now these men who are blind are crying out for mercy. And the crowd is saying, just shut up. God doesn't have time for you. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's got an agenda. He's passing by. He don't need the distraction. And he don't need you to irritate him and to bug him and bother him. Man, all this noise you're making is driving us crazy. But Jesus heard a cry for empathy. Jesus heard a cry for need. And you know what? He knew exactly what their need was. He knew exactly what their cry was. He knew exactly what they needed. And he knew exactly what he was going to do. How do you know that, preacher? Because over here in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Well, let's go back to 17. Then there was delivered unto him, that's Jesus, the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable day or acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of them all that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. You know what he had come to do? He had come to give spiritual sight back to those that were blind. And what greater example could he get? And what greater example could he give than these men who were physically blind but had the spiritual insight to cry unto him for mercy? And they found what they were looking for. The crowd wanted silence. Jesus wanted to hear. The crowd didn't care about their needs. Jesus wanted to meet the needs. The crowd didn't care. But Jesus had a heart of compassion. They didn't stop crying because the crowd said so. The Bible says there in 31. And the multitude rebuked him because they should hold their peace, but they cried the more. Hey, man. The more the world tries to beat you down, the more the world tells you you're crazy for serving God, the more the world says that you're just serving a dead God and a dead religion. I don't listen to him. Cry out the more, and you'll find out that he hears your cry. You know, there's a song out now that's real popular. Your cries have awakened the master. I don't like that song. It's unscriptural. My Bible says the one that watches over his people never sleeps nor slumbers. Amen. He didn't have to wake him up. I remember when Elijah was on the mountain with the prophets of Baal. What did he tell them? You need to cry a little louder. Maybe you need to wake him up. Maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's asleep. My God's not like that. My God hears my cries, not because he has to be woken up, but because he cares. I'm one of his, and he cares. I'm one of his, and he knows I have needs. I'm one of his, and he knows that I'm trusting in him. I'm looking to him just like a child looks to their father for their need to be met. And he asked him, "What will you that I shall do unto you? What will you that I should do? What do you need tonight? What is it that you need tonight?" Let's not worry about these blind men for just a few moments. What do you need tonight? You need to be saved, he'll save you. You need to find forgiveness, he'll forgive you. Do you need a touch from on high? He'll touch you. Amen. Do you need healing? He can heal you. And let me just tell you this, he heals everybody.
Amen.
Some get healed on this side. Some get their healing on the other side. You say, "Well, that's not fair." Well, I dare say you ask anyone that got healed and had to cross to the other side for their healing, you couldn't get them to come back for everything that this world had to offer. Amen? I want you to know something. My God can do it all. Whatever you need. But you need to cry unto him. You need to make your, what's the Bible say? Make your requests known unto God. Why do we pray? Not because he needs to know what our needs are. He already knows what our needs are. Amen. He already knows what our needs are. He don't need us to tell him what our needs are. He already knows. But he wants us to demonstrate. He wants us to acknowledge that we know where what we need comes from. Amen. He said, they cried, and he heard their cry. They needed an answer, and he gave them an answer. They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. He doesn't always work the same way. One time when he opened the eyes, he pressed his thumbs on the eyes before they received their sight. Another time he spat on the ground and he made clay and he covered their eyes and told them to go wash. And they received their sight. Another time he spoke to blind Bartimaeus and said, "Receive your sight." See, just because he did something one way in someone's life don't mean he's going to do it that way in your life. But he tells us in every life that what he has for us is going to be enough. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7, Paul's talking about a thorn in the flesh that he had, an infirmity, an illness. In verse 7 there he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now some people say it was his eyesight. Some people say it was his speech. He couldn't talk right. And there's evidence that he had both issues. And it might not be either one of them. It might be something else. Think about how many times he had been beaten. When you were beaten by the Romans and scourged by the Romans, it wasn't a pretty thing. It left you marred. 3 times he was beaten with rods. 3 times he was scourged. 39 times. Do you get that? Sometimes men didn't survive one beating. Paul had been through 3 of them. Shipwrecked, stoned. In case you don't understand what stoning is, how many remember Ernest T. Bass? You young people ain't got a clue. It's me. It's Ernest T. That's Andy Griffith. He was the crazy hillbilly that lived up in the mountains. And he throwed rocks. Amen. Ernest T. Bass didn't have nothing on these fellows. You see, when you were to be stoned, they picked up rocks and they threw them at you with the intent of trying to kill you. And it's a horrible thing. One of the most horrible things I ever seen. Well, somebody sent me an email one time. Had a video link. And it was a 12-year-old girl. How many girls are between the ages of 11 and 13 here? 14, 15. A 12-year-old girl being stoned by Muslim men. And it was the most horrific thing. I still can't get the image out of my mind. And when it got down toward the end, one of them brought a big old concrete cinder block and just throwed it on her head, crushed her skull. That's the intent. That's what it means to be stoned. They want to kill you in a most horrific way. They throw rocks at you until your body is beaten and battered so bad. Paul had been there. We don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, but it most certainly could have resulted from all the circumstances that he'd been through. It could have been just a simple thing of his eyesight or his speech. We don't know. But he said it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. It was a hindrance unto him. And he said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Jesus touched him. Jesus touched Paul. He touched these blind men with their sight, and they received their sight. He touched a woman with the infirmity, and her body was made whole. She was healed immediately, and she knew it. He touched the life of Zacchaeus, and he saved his soul when Zacchaeus acknowledged him as Lord. Paul said, I cried unto the Lord. I besought him three times. He said, Paul, I got something for you. It's my grace. See, he doesn't work in every life the same way. But praise God, when he does work, he gives you what you need. He gives you what's sufficient. Don't let the crowd tell you to stop crying. Paul said, I cried three times and I found what I needed was his grace. The blind men cried out to Jesus. They were told to keep silent and to hush their mouth, and they cried out the more, and Jesus gave them what they needed. You see, there's always a crowd that's trying to keep you from getting close to Jesus. There's always a crowd that's trying to keep you from getting what you need. But don't let the crowd hinder you. Man, when they got what they needed, they followed Jesus. I don't know if they realized where they were following him to. But they were following him to Calvary. Jericho is about 15 miles from Jerusalem. I don't know if it was that day or the next day as Jesus entered into Jerusalem. The Bible said the crowds cried, Hosanna, Hosanna. The Bible says they acknowledged him as Messiah. I don't have any doubt that these two blind men, who were now seeing men, were in the midst of the crowd. And maybe they said, maybe you don't know this, but let me tell you about Jesus. Maybe you don't know this, but let me tell you what happened this morning or what happened yesterday as he passed through Jericho and as he was leaving, and we cried out, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on us. He gave us back our sight. I have no doubt that this is the Messiah. I have no doubt that this is the one that the prophets talked about and told about. I have no doubt you ought to cry out and you ought to worship him, for he's worthy of being worshiped, not because of what he's done, but because of who he is. Amen. They followed Jesus. When the crowd told them to be quiet, they cried out. When the crowd would have no part of her, when the crowd could care less about him, he climbed the tree. I don't care whether you got to climb, crawl, cry. What you have to do to get to Jesus, you need to do that. I seen a thing one time that said, if you're going to fight like you're the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark, and it's starting to rain. Amen. That's good. Amen. I would say this. If you need to get to Jesus, and you need to get into that ark, that's what the ark represents. It represents Jesus. I mean, I don't care what kind of a crowd's there. You fight like you're the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's ark, and it's starting to rain. Don't let nothing keep you from getting to Jesus. Amen. So we stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. I don't know what...